What's going on, guys? Thanks for tuning into the Local Crown Podcast, where we're going to teach you how to wage war on your competition and earn your local crown, also known as the top spot on Google.
What is up, Local Crown entrepreneurs? I am here today with Charles Reed. He has an incredible story. He's involved in so many different things, a former veteran, which we appreciate so much. And he's a public accountant, certified public accountant, member of the International Revenue Service. He is a tax court practitioner, and we are going to hear all about what that is, what that entails. And I'm going to hand it over to you, to Charles. Why don't you tell us about yourself and what you've been doing?
Okay. I am a CPA, certified public accountant. I've been a member of the Internal Revenue Service Advisory Council, which is a group that the IRS puts together to help them solve problems and tell them where they're going wrong, which was a lot of fun, tell them where they're going wrong.
Yeah, right.
And I'm also a U.S. tax court practitioner, which allows me to represent my clients in U.S. tax court. There's about 200 of us in the country. It's kind of a unique thing. I can represent clients in the tax court without being an attorney. I actually have a bar card from the tax court.
Yeah, and that's actually pretty rare, right? Like in the last...
Yes.
Like 16 years, only 86 people have done that. What is that? Like, how come, why is it so rare?
Well, the tax court supervises it, and they only have the exam once every 2 years.
Wow.
In DC, you have to go in person to the tax court in Washington to take the exam. You have to be conversant in evidence, legal ethics, substantive tax, and tax court procedures. And frankly, I went to school for 2 years to be able to pass the exam at my age.
Wow.
So the tax portion wasn't hard, but I had to learn all about legal evidence and legal ethics, which is a small book.
They always are, right? Yeah.
And tax court procedure, which is a big book.
Oh, okay.
So it was a lot of fun and I learned a lot, but it was, the reason I did it is the IRS was getting more obstreperous with my clients and less kinder and gentler like they were supposed to be. So it added an extra arrow in my quiver to help protect my clients. And we've used it a number of times and filed a number of petitions for the tax court. So far, we're perfect. We haven't lost one yet. It'll happen, but we haven't lost any yet. So
yeah, that's awesome. That's so cool. So when you talk about like the IRS and another like arrow for you to protect them with, what are some things people, I guess, should be aware of when they're looking at their business and dealing with the IRS and things like that?
Well, one of the big problems that entrepreneurs have is, as we talked about, classification, the difference between a contractor and an employee. Okay. It's a very complex thing, and the law has changed several times. The Trump administration had a new definition that they were going to put in March 8th of last year, and the Biden administration canceled that. So it fell back to the old one, and the Biden administration has not issued their own take on it. It comes down to 20 common law rules that determine based on a preponderance of evidence. So if you're a new entrepreneur and you need somebody to help you, can't make the choice of whether they're a contractor or not.
Yeah.
There's a whole body of law, and it changes, as I've said, that determines whether they're an employee or they can be an independent contractor. If you pay them as a contractor and they should have been an employee, the fines and the interest and penalties can be substantial. I've had clients run into the high five figures in penalties because they misclassified workers. So it's something new entrepreneurs have to be extremely careful about. If you're not sure, get some professional advice. There's all kinds of things that go on, whether it's a contractor, an employee, whether it's a statutory employee, a statutory non-employee, whether it's your family members, all these things matter in how they're taxed for employment taxes. So you have to be very, very careful.
Yeah. And that's where like some people might think, oh, I don't have the money to get that professional help. But at the same time, they're kind of digging their own grave in a sense, right?
That's one of those things. Yeah, it's you don't remember, but there used to be an old Bardol commercial and they were selling oil filters. And they had this old mechanic in this in his mechanic's uniform, and he held up the oil filter and he said, pay me now or pay me later.
Yeah.
In other words, you need to buy the oil filter, otherwise I'm going to have to replace your engine.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that little bit of advice, and they can get it maybe online, but or from a professional to look at it, will save them an immense amount later on if they're wrong.
Yeah, exactly. If they're, and I know that, like, so I guess I don't know this, but how often are these things changing? Because I feel like, you know, there's a new thing kind of rolling out every day, and a lot of people would get their information off, you know, like some media platform, but that changes quite often. And then how do you know exactly what information to be following and how often to be following it?
Well, the common law rules go back literally over 100 years, but the interpretation of them changes basically every time there's a court case.
Yeah.
Because it can tweak it slightly and it can say, well, in this instance, this applies, in this instance, that applies. I get 5 email updates a week from the Internal Revenue Service.
Wow.
On some of this stuff. And I get the trade journals and I get the accounting and taxation journals. So I keep up on it. And that's something that they need somebody who's up on it. This is not something you can do on the side.
Mm-hmm.
If you're an entrepreneur, you've got a core business that you're trying to run and grow and create.
Mm-hmm.
Non-core things such as payroll, bookkeeping, other things, insurance, and so on, you need to outsource. You need a banker. Mm-hmm. You need an attorney. You need an insurance agent, and you need an accountant who can do your payroll.
Yeah.
Okay. Those 4 people you have to have. It's silly not to. And I know when you start as an entrepreneur, you wear all the hats. Yeah. I did. 30 years ago when I started my business, I did everything. Mm-hmm. And you can see what it did to my hair.
Yeah.
Okay. So, yeah. But the moment you can afford to get that advice, and some of it's relatively inexpensive, mm-hmm. but you need to get it so yeah. you know what you're doing. Asking your CPA, hey, is this guy a contractor or an employee? That's a fairly quick question.
Yeah.
And he'll ask you 3 or 4 questions and say, he's an employee.
Yeah.
Oh, well, I got to put him on payroll. Or say, oh, okay, let me ask a couple of more because he may be a contractor.
Okay.
There's some things that say, yeah, he's an employee. And there's some things that say, well, let's check it a little further. So
yeah.
Those are the questions. You can get the 20 questions online that you have to go through, the common law questions. It's a quite common, excuse the pun, post. So yeah. that's fairly easy to find even at the IRS. And one source for information is irs.gov.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of sites out there that give a lot of information, some good, some bad, some indifferent. But if you want the real skinny, the irs.gov is out there. Sometimes it's a little hard to interpret and read, but
yeah, a little dry. Yeah.
Very, very dry.
Yeah.
I mean, if you want a cure for insomnia, the Internal Revenue Code works very, very well.
Very well. Oh, good. Yeah. I will remember that when I'm, you know, 12 a.m. awake. awesome. So I guess like what my next question would be with all that is like, what are the, besides knowing if you have contractors, employees, and like determining those things on your own, what are the biggest problems you see in like new businesses and starting their payroll? Because I know that can be, it can get messy if you don't start out with a good system, right?
Now I have clients that come to me that are relatively new and we just start and let the rest go and call it, you know, roulette. Okay.
Okay.
Audit roulette. And we take the chance that it'll never be audited. But the moment you can get legal with your payroll, do so.
Okay.
Because it will prevent problems. And then if you get caught on the old stuff, well, you're not doing that anymore, and they'll work with you. Mm-hmm. If you're still doing it when they catch you, they don't really want to work with you.
Gotcha.
Okay. They get very hard no's. But the thing is to know what you need to do. And if you don't know what you don't know, you don't know it.
Yeah, claiming ignorance.
Because you have to know, I've got to file with the federal. I've got to file with the state. And you may have to file with the state revenue and the state unemployment department. And you may have local taxes. And there's forms you have to fill out. It may be monthly. It may be quarterly. It may be annually. And you have to fill all these out, file them correctly, file them on time, mm-hmm. and make your tax deposits on a timely basis. If you're 1 second late with your tax deposit, there's a penalty.
Yeah.
1 second. There's no allowance. When that clock ticks over, you get penalized.
Yeah, that's crazy.
The average 40% of all small businesses get penalized every year.
Wow.
In fiscal 19, the IRS issued $13 billion in employment tax penalties.
Wow.
That's billion with a B.
So they're counting on you not knowing what to do.
Right. Now, over half of them got reversed.
That's good.
Got abated by people like me who knew what they were doing.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't know what you're doing, you can't get it abated because you don't know how to do it. If you're doing it yourself, you send a letter and you say, this is wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And the first response from the IRS will be tough. Pay it anyway.
Yeah.
I guarantee it's a form letter. Okay. They don't even look at it. They just send you a form letter back. Your second letter goes to the appeals coordinator. About 5% of the penalties get abated there. Then you have to go to appeals. And you may have to file a collection due process hearing. You may have to end up going to tax court, which gets you a whole nother bite at the apple and much better and knowledgeable people to deal with. So you always keep fighting. You keep appealing because it's a whole series of no's followed by a single yes.
Mm-hmm.
And when you get that yes, don't argue. Just take it and go.
Okay? Yeah.
But don't continue to talk. Just say, thank you, sir. And go.
Yeah, you made it this far, right?
Right. Yeah. Now, if you have to talk to the IRS, I tell my clients, don't talk to the IRS. Let me.
Mm-hmm.
Because to you, it's personal. To an entrepreneur, it's personal. And you get upset and you get angry and you say things you shouldn't. And then the IRS person you're talking to gets vindictive mm-hmm. and does things they shouldn't to make your life worse. Here a few months ago, the IRS screwed up on my taxes.
Yeah.
And so middle of COVID, it took me weeks to get a hold of the revenue officer that had the case. And he said things he shouldn't say. And he was wrong. And he said, well, this, this, and this. And I said, no, that's not the law. The law is this, this, and this. And you have to do this, this, and this. And he said, I'm not going to do it.
Wow.
And I proceeded to get angry with him and start yelling at him over the phone.
Yeah.
And in the back of my mind, I'm going, Charles, don't do this. Don't do this.
Yeah.
Excuse me. But I did. And he got vindictive and did more stuff he shouldn't have done.
Interesting.
It took me 3 weeks to get a hold of the supervisor who reversed everything and said, you know, no harm, no foul. Where everything's fine.
Mm-hmm.
But I knew how to get a hold of a supervisor.
Yeah.
And if you don't know that, if you've pissed off this guy, and if you get a hold of a supervisor and you don't calm down, you're going to upset him and it's just going to get worse.
Yeah.
So I don't recommend that taxpayers talk to the IRS, that they let a professional do it for them, because when it's not my taxes, yeah, I can be rational and calm and straightforward about it. And yeah. I know if the examiner's wrong, how to get a hold of his boss or his boss's boss or his boss's boss's boss or whatever I need to do to make it right for my client.
Exactly. And I feel like another thing with that is like, sure, you waited 3 weeks, but you're confident in the fact of you know what to do with that, where somebody else like not knowing what to do, waiting 3 weeks on money they need for their business is probably just absolute panic.
Yes. And when we first started the business, my wife and I started the business together more than 30 years ago. And I don't know if you're married, but working with your spouse, I grew up with it, but it's not a natural act.
No, okay? Yeah. So I've worked with my boyfriend before, and it was It was different.
It was different, exactly. It's a whole different ballgame.
Yeah, the sass just flies a little easier.
Yeah, she would get, because she was in the office and I'd be out in the field. Yeah. She would get certified letters and she'd get all upset over them because we'd get copies of the IRS letters for our clients. And I said, don't worry about them. There is nothing like a certified letter to bring clients out of the woodwork so we can talk to them.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, that's awesome. And she's probably putting a lot of emotion into it. And
she would get very upset and worried about it, as our clients would. Mm-hmm. But I knew better and I knew how to handle it. And I knew that it was just coming to a head. Now we could talk. Now that letter had a name and a phone number on it, somebody I could actually talk to rather than the main line of the IRS, which is literally a waste of time.
Yeah, I've been on that line for...
Now, after you've sat there for 2 hours and then get somebody that says, oh, I can't help you, let me transfer you to somebody else.
Yeah.
And you wait another 2 hours.
Yeah,
And then you get a courtesy disconnect at 4:30.
Exactly. Yeah, right. And then you get a new iPhone because you like crushed yours waiting.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's totally true. And like, that's what I think probably, I know for me personally, like if I am running a business and I'm starting out and I already have so much to stress about, like this is probably where people get in trouble the most, business financial wise, because they don't want to deal with it. They put it off. I would back burner this all day long until it's a problem. So do you have to pull people out of some serious like debt and holes with this a lot?
Oh yeah, absolutely. Cause they dig themselves a hole. And yeah. I tell them, when you find yourself in a hole, quit digging.
Yeah.
Okay.
Fall down. Yeah.
they do. And so they come to me. And sometimes I'm able to help them. And sometimes I just say, we're going to have to sit down and negotiate a payout and pay it out over the next 5 years. Because there are times that if you haven't talked to the IRS and you haven't filed certain things, you lose appeal rights.
Mm-hmm.
And some of these situations, you can come to a point where it's done. Whether you actually owed it or not, it's too late to change.
Yeah,
and that's a very terrible spot to be in, because had you just filed something a few weeks earlier or a few months earlier, You would know it.
Yeah.
Or you would have the right to appeal it more. You could take it to tax court. But some of these things, you get to a point and you lose your appeal rights.
Mm-hmm.
And then you don't have any choice. You have to pay it.
Yeah.
Now, there is a 10-year statute on collections. So if they don't collect it in 10 years, you're home free. But in the meantime, they've probably taken everything you own.
Yeah. Yeah. They're still getting money somehow, that back somehow, that's just like a good point to point out to any entrepreneur starting right now. If you're back burnering this would be the point to maybe set aside some money to get help from you so that you can focus on it in a way.
Well, the pittance, believe me, for an entrepreneur, what I charge for payroll, the amount of time it saves an entrepreneur that they can work on their business,
yeah,
is immensely more valuable than trying to do payroll that we have the equipment and the software and the training to do. We can do it in a heartbeat for not very much money.
Yeah.
And for the entrepreneur to do it, they spend hours doing what we can accomplish in minutes.
Yeah. Wow. And you, just like speaking to that, I know that you're like super educational and you have like your book and everything. So you're willing to just do this and give like people the help they need. It's just a matter of them needing to realize this is worth the time and money in getting the help. Right.
And frankly, if they have a question, just call me.
Yeah.
If I can answer it over the phone, we'll just answer it. I like to help people. So if I can answer it off the cuff, there's no charge.
Yeah. Yeah. And if they grabbed your book, which was your newest and latest book, what would they learn from that? Which is payroll book. Yes.
A guide for small businesses and entrepreneurs.
Okay. So could they do their payroll based off just the book?
Actually, they can.
Wow.
Because section 2 is how to do a payroll,
mm-hmm.
how actually to calculate it, all the things that go into pre-tax and post-tax and deductions and what's income and what's not and how to calculate it and how to calculate overtime and so on. Mm-hmm. And so that's part two. Part one, we'll go through all the details of employees versus contractors, what's overtime, what's not, who's exempt from overtime, who's not exempt, tax penalties, and so on and so forth. Part three is all the ancillary things, PEOs, handbooks, record keeping, all these things. So it's a real good starting place for payroll. It's 30 years of experience distilled down to 95,000 words.
Wow. Yeah. So I actually have a question on that. Let's say I'm like personally myself, I don't have a business or anything, but I know eventually I like, once I figure it out, I would love to run one, but does all this apply to just someone as a personal, like, I know there's like weird tax write-offs you can do for like, if you have you own an entity, like you have your own LLC or something like that, but you're not really running anything. Like, is there ways I can implement this into myself to practice before I have something bigger to run?
Well, see, if you have an LLC that reports as an S corp,
okay,
then you're an employee.
Yeah.
Do you have to withhold wages, have to withhold taxes, deposit them, file 941s, and issue yourself a W-2 at the end of the year? And you frankly want to be an S corp because it's the tax advantages of being that as opposed to a sole entrepreneur are substantial.
Yeah. And there's a lot of this liability, correct?
Oh, that's a huge thing. Because that's why I recommend incorporation or an LLC always as opposed to a sole proprietor.
Yeah.
For liability protection. And then I recommend if you form an LLC, which your attorney probably will recommend because he'll charge you more than a corporation. seriously. But you want to file your taxes for that LLC as an S corporation because there's tax advantages, and your CPA can explain those to you in detail. There's substantial tax advantages to filing as an S corp as opposed to filing as a disregarded entity for an LLC or a sole proprietor. Mm-hmm. And the least tax advantaged entity is a partnership. Mm-hmm. I don't recommend those with rare exceptions.
Interesting. Yeah. Cause I know there is a lot of like things with partnerships. And then if that goes wrong or splits out anywhere, there's just too much involved for it to be really worth your time. Right.
In most cases, you're exactly right.
Yeah. I took a business law class and they talked a ton about that and about like, don't even go over there unless like you got something super, super special going on. So
exactly.
Yeah. Interesting. Okay. Well, that's so just like on a total different switch. I just wanted to ask you, like, based off your military veteran background, when you went into that, what was your mindset and coming out of that, what was your mindset and how did you move into like taxes and payroll and all these other things based off that?
I joined the Marine Corps when I was quite young. I was 17. I'd graduated from high school at 16.
Yeah.
Wasn't ready for college. Wasn't mature enough. So worked for about 6 months, 8 months, and then joined the Marine Corps. Spent 4 years in the Corps. Learned a lot of stuff in the military. Discipline, both external and internal. One of the things, particularly in the Corps, they teach you is mission, men, self. The mission comes first. You do whatever it takes to accomplish the mission. Then you take care of your men. Then you take care of yourself. That's part of leadership. I was a sergeant in the Marine Corps. I'm a combat veteran. I did a combat tour in Vietnam.
Wow.
So all these things you learn, and a lot of them applies to business. Not all of them, because the Marine Corps is very hierarchical. Everybody in the Marine Corps is either subordinate or superior to everybody else. Mm-hmm. It may, in fact, come down to the hour of the day that you were promoted.
Wow.
But if you were promoted earlier than the guy next to you, you're senior to him and you give him orders. He doesn't give you orders.
Wow. Yeah.
It doesn't work in business.
Yeah. You're like, I got early 2 hours earlier. So
right. I had to unlearn that particular thing. But the mission men self works. You accomplish what you need to in the business to take care of your clients. But then you take care of your employees and everything else before you take care of yourself. Those people who are egotists and it's me first, they don't tend to succeed in business because they don't take care of their employees or their clients. Mm-hmm. And that's going to lead to disasters. I've seen it. I've worked for a number of businesses before I started my own. Yeah. And I've seen ego disasters more than once. Yeah. So one of these days I want to write a book called Park Your Ego at the Door on business management, because most of American business management is quite poor, frankly. It really is. So, and then I found coming out of the military that most business does not value your military experience. And I've come to the conclusion the reason is because they don't understand it. They haven't been in the military. Mm-hmm. And if you haven't been there, you can't understand it. Before I went in, my father, who was a World War II veteran, said about combat, if you've been there, no explanation's necessary. If you haven't been there, no explanation is possible.
Wow.
I think that applies to military experience in business. If you've been in the military, you know how it applies.
Exactly.
If you haven't been in the military, you cannot know how it applies. And I think that's the real disconnect. And that's why veterans hire veterans, because they know what they bring to the table.
Yeah, which is a ton of like tenacity and grit.
Exactly.
That's what you want. Yeah.
But yeah, that's what you want. And they don't, they tend to look at it and go, your experience doesn't apply. It happened to me early on. And it was one recruiter, and I had done the exact job in the military that they needed me to do in the insurance company. And he wouldn't hire me because he thought my military experience didn't apply.
Wow.
It was the only recruiter I ever told he was an idiot. Yeah. At the end of the interview. And the company went bankrupt about 5 years later.
Yeah.
And I know why, because they hired the wrong people.
Yeah. Yeah. You're like, because you didn't have, yeah, no. And that makes sense too, because I feel like even if you did get that job, it probably would have been like the cruddiest, whatever amount of time you set to that, that you,
exactly,
a blessing that you were like, absolutely not, sir.
I agree now. At the time, I was a little upset over it, but yeah. now you're probably right.
Yeah, that's awesome. And that makes so much sense that you're in payroll, because you're obviously focused on your men, your employees, and then yourself. And that's what payroll is. It's focusing on getting them paid correctly, and then it will help yourself in your business.
Getting them paid correctly and timely. I remember years ago, we had a client in Fort Worth, and he screwed up and didn't get us the payroll until very late. And I drove it over to him.
Wow.
And he had 30 roofers with roofing knives on their belt that were waiting for their paychecks.
Oh, gosh.
Both he and them were very glad to see me.
He's like, so I just stopped sweating. Yes. Yeah, that's crazy. That's awesome, though. And so cool. Like, I think I actually, have you ever heard of David Goggins?
Yes.
Yes. So I listened to his book, and I think that's when it really clicked for me, just how intense and like true that military mind and like veteran mind is of, you guys are just like pure grit and like pure push through and do the mission. I was just like, yeah, so impressed.
It's mission first.
Yeah.
You accomplish the mission regardless of what it takes.
Yeah.
You don't prevaricate. You don't lay back, you don't put it off, you get it done. And that's ground into you from day one.
Yeah. And I think that's something that every entrepreneur can try and work on in themselves, honestly, for sure.
Well, most entrepreneurs will do it.
Yeah.
If they've got the guts to become an entrepreneur, and entrepreneurship is not for everybody.
Yeah.
You know, if you're not willing to work, a couple of years ago, I was at a panel on entrepreneurs. It was a business panel. And one of the questions came from the audience that says, what about work-life balance as an entrepreneur? And I just cracked up.
Yeah.
I said, when you start out as an entrepreneur, There is no such thing as work-life balance. It's work. Mm-hmm. 70, 80, 90, 100 hours a week. And if you don't have a partner that understands that, if you're married, you've got problems.
Yeah.
You're going to work, and there is no work-life balance for the first number of years. It was probably 10 or 12 years before the wife and I ever took a vacation once we started the business. Our vacations in between were, we'd go to a business conference and we'd go the day before and stay the day after.
Yeah.
And that was the vacation for the year. So it's work, 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 work. Hopefully you'll get bigger. You'll hire people. You'll be able to delegate things off. You'll be able to backstop yourself, and you'll have enough revenue and profits that you can take a vacation.
Yeah.
And we got to that point. Where Ruth had her stroke. We went to Japan and Hong Kong.
Yeah.
For 10 days and attended a Rotary conference. So we had a good time. But in the beginning, it's mission. And it's, you know, if you want to work 40 hours a week and take your 2 weeks vacation or 3 weeks vacation and get your retirement, don't be an entrepreneur.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. No worries. Yeah. Don't do it.
You'll hate your life more. Yeah.
Yeah. It will not be, you will not be happy.
Yeah.
But if you like working for yourself, if you like that kind of challenge, if you're willing to put in the hours, the 70, 80 hours a week in the beginning, and that doesn't mean for a week or two, that means for a few years. By all means, it's very satisfying. I would not go to work for anybody else now on a bet.
Yeah.
Period. I wouldn't do it. I don't have to. I'm not going to. I'm not going to have my livelihood depend on somebody else's whim. Mm-hmm. I refuse. I don't need to.
Yeah.
So, you know, I love being an entrepreneur.
Yeah. So as someone who's so like into just like knowing taxes and I mean, knowing payroll and everything, for somebody who, let's say they're like, I don't want to work like that. I don't want to commit my life to that. I enjoy my time off. You can be an amazing intrapreneur, correct? Like what would you advise them to be doing kind of for themselves? Well,
work for somebody who will value you, who will listen to your ideas, who will help you grow and progress in responsibility and authority, that has a career path for you. There's lots of corporations out there that do that.
Yeah.
Okay. And you can work within, when I worked in corporate, I worked for like Texas Instruments. I worked for JCPenney's. I did not have a career path at TI, which is why I left.
Yeah.
Because I wasn't an engineer. And only engineers had a career path at Texas Instruments. And this was, 45 years ago. So I don't know about now.
Yeah.
Penny's had a career path for store people, not for accountants.
Gotcha.
So if you're an accountant, you may want to work for one of the big accounting firms, or you may want to find a firm that has a big enough accounting department that you can move up to corporate controller at some point in time or CFO.
Yeah.
And there's a career path for you. There's a lot of companies, depending on what you do, that will have a career path for you or won't. So you need to know what you want to do, where you want to go in your career, and find a corporation, a business that will nurture that.
Yeah.
Ask them up front. Be upfront about it. Ask them where you can go.
Mm-hmm.
And they normally will tell you because, they don't care.
Yeah.
And if it doesn't suit you, don't work for them.
Yeah. Find another one.
Find somebody else. You have... Nice thing about this country, you got all kinds of alternatives.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I see new ways to make a living every day. Literally every day, I find new ways to make a living.
Yeah.
I don't go after them because I've got my own. Yeah. But there's a lot of ways. And so whether you're an entrepreneur on your own or you work for somebody and an entrepreneur within an organization, you can have fun and grow and advance and have a career that you're proud of. Absolutely.
Yeah. And I think that's what people kind of get stuck on is they know they don't want to go work that entrepreneur life, but at the same time, they're trying to focus on that life when they can really just focus on being so amazing where they're at and growing in exactly what they're doing.
And there's some people who don't want to grow.
Yeah.
There's some people who are perfectly happy making $35,000 a year. and working for the same company for 40 years.
Yeah, yeah.
And getting the cost of living raises. And they're happy in their job. They like what they do.
And there's nothing wrong with that. Yeah, and that's what makes them happy, you know?
Absolutely nothing wrong with that. Everybody should be happy in life.
Yeah.
I mean, why else are we here, right? Yeah. We need to be happy. We need to enjoy our lives. So it's an old song. Find a job you enjoy and you'll never work a day in your life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, I'm 72 years old. I still come into work every day. My staff says to me, when are you going to retire? And I said, one of these days you're going to come in to my office and you're going to find me dead at my desk. I've retired.
Yep. Yeah, that's awesome. That's so cool. And I think that's the dream for everybody. So, I mean, yeah, just like search for something that makes you happy, not something that you shouldn't be forcing yourself into.
Exactly.
Awesome. So just like a last little piece, what out of your years of experience, because you've obviously just done so much, out of everything, could you give our audience that's just like a tip that's just keep living life and go with this?
Got two.
Awesome.
The first one is there's never a traffic jam on the extra mile.
Awesome.
Go the extra mile for your customers. Go the extra mile for your employees. Your competitors won't. Your customers will love you. Your employees will love you.
Mm-hmm.
And they will be loyal. And I would much rather have a loyal customer than a happy customer.
Yeah.
Because a loyal customer, you can piss them off and they'll stick with you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. A happy customer, you piss them off, they go away.
Yeah.
So you can build loyal customers. And I have customers that go back 30 years and I love it. They're friends, you know, after 30 years in their pocketbooks, they're friends. Okay. Yeah. They're not just clients. And I've got a wonderful staff. Deborah, who's my right-hand person, has been with me 22 years. My first CPA I hired, she's been with me 26 years.
Yeah.
So, you know, this is great stuff. So go the extra mile. And the other one, really for entrepreneurs. And I sold this from Bill Gates. People will overestimate what they can accomplish in a year,
mm-hmm.
and underestimate what they can accomplish in a decade.
Interesting.
It's a marathon, guys. It's not a sprint.
Yeah.
You've got to slog it out week after week, month after month, year after year. If you think you want to be a unicorn, a Bezos, a Musk, it ain't going to happen. Okay. Your chances are better getting hit by lightning on a clear day than being the next Elon Musk.
Yeah.
Okay. That doesn't mean you can't get a wonderful lifestyle, wealthy, happy, great family, good living, all these things, being an entrepreneur. You can do that. That's what this country is built on.
Yeah.
You can absolutely do that. But you're not going to do it tomorrow. And you're not going to do it next week. It's going to take a slog.
Yeah.
But you work at it, you'll get there. So it's a marathon.
Yeah. I think that's so true. And like measure your success in like longevity and relationships rather than just, you know, a bunch of people coming and going constantly.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Awesome. I think that's so perfect. And I think that is so like impactful to all of our entrepreneurs. So I just want to put out one more time. How can we find you? I will have everything down in the show notes as well, but I'd love for you to shout it out. I know you have 4 books and are working on a 5th, correct?
I'm working on several, but they can reach me at CJR@GetPayroll. The whole background is getpayroll.com. So yeah. They can reach me there. CJR, Charles J. Reed. The phone number is 972-353-0000. Awesome. The only good thing GTE ever did for me. If they'd like a copy of the book for your listeners, if they will go to thepayrollbook.com and enter the discount code podcast, we will send them a free book.
Amazing.
No shipping, no handling, a free book.
Awesome. They will love that. I will actually be on there getting my own. So
please.
Well, thank you so much for coming on today. It was an amazing podcast. I loved hearing everything you had to say. And I hope you guys tune in next time and have a ton of notes written down from this podcast. Thank you, and we'll see you next time.
Thanks so much for tuning in. I hope you learned something. If you have questions, email us at info@thelocalcrown.com. And if you want to get featured in our publication, Inside the Empire, alongside John Lee Dumas, the Entrepreneur on Fire, Jason Waller, the CEO of Power Home Solar, Sharon Lecter, Dan Caldwell, the man that started Tap Out, and the limitless man himself, Jim Quick, for free, then head over to thelocalcrown.com/become a contributor.